The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for the Outdoorsman Radio Show with your host, Alan Ellis. Hey, good morning, everybody. This is the second hour of the Outdoorsman Radio Show. It's Alan Ellis here, pre-recording the show for the first day of deer season. Today's broadcast, Robin's not with us in the studio. She's back home with the grandson, the little one. And I often spoke when we were hunting with my grandson, Jacob, who just turned 21 on the 10th of November. And Jacob's a student at the University of Maryland, and you know we took his first five bucks together and a couple does, and Jacob and I are we've kind of reconnected, so that's wonderful news from this week. So and, you know, hopefully we'll be talking more about him in the future, but we've got another one, and his name is Jameson, and he just turned one on the 3rd. So Robin's with Jameson this morning, and I'm with Brian Eiler here on the phone. Brian Eiler's our
Hi,
Brian. Brian's our deer project leader for the state of Maryland Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife, and Heritage Service. So, and I said all that in one sentence. So we had a great first hour. We talked about a lot of things, and now we're going to talk about some more stuff. We're going to talk about a little deer biology, and we haven't even mentioned Sika deer yet, so we want to talk about them. What do you want to do first, Brian? You want to talk about the Sikas, or you want to talk about the deer biology?
I want to know first what gun you bought Jameson so far. You know, what's Jameson's first gun? You got to be getting ready. It's only 5 or 6 years away that you'll have him out there, right?
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 450 Marlin that I'm using right now this deer season.
There you go.
And the next it'll be a 12 gauge, you know, yeah. Something probably
3.5 inch.
Yeah. Probably a new A5 or something like that. Yeah, you know, but I'll have to break it in for him. So
there you go.
funny guy. All right. So we were talking about deer biology. We were talking about the whitetail, and there are. I said there are 7 glands of whitetail that they use through various times of the year, various times of their life, and in particular the this time of year when everybody says, "Oh, we need to hunt the rut. We need to hunt the, you know, you hunt the scrapes, you hunt the this, you hunt the that." Well, all those rutting interactions between bucks and does are all based on glandular signals from the animals. Am I correct?
That's correct. Communication.
Communication.
All,
yes, that's right.
Communication.
Yes.
So, yeah, and tarsals are the ones that everybody thinks of right away. You know, on the inside of the hind legs, bucks will urinate on them. You know, and then
rub their legs together and get that. Get that gland doing its work. The urine runs down over the legs into the scrape.
Right.
The doe comes along and does the same thing.
Right, and then they actually can flare those tarsals. They flare them so they can actually expel that scent. It's not just about urine washing it into the scrape. They actually can expel that scent by flaring those hairs.
Really?
On that tarsal gland. So
see?
Yeah, and then the urine, I think, you know, what I learned way back, the urine, you know, it promotes bacteria growth, and then every buck has a unique scent. So each deer can tell every other deer apart. So though. But
interesting.
But yeah, and then of course, and there, and I mean, they use those glands all year, but then, you know, like you said, really during the rut is when, coming up to the rut is when they really
see,
know, really ramp up.
People think that that's a nasty odor. I love smelling that in the woods because that means I'm downwind of a buck.
Right, right, and it can be pretty pungent. I mean, you know, you can, it definitely can travel a long way, that smell. So
there's a little bedding area in the place that I hunt. I don't hunt it. I hunt outside the bedding area, you know, trails in and out of it. And I walked by that the other day, and I don't know if the buck was in there or if he had just freshened the scrape or whatever, but it was very pungent. And I'm thinking, well, I'm in the right place. So,
yeah.
But there are glands in the deer that people don't know about or think about. There's a gland right in the corner of the eye, like where your tear duct or my tear duct would be, and that's called a preorbital gland. What is that all about?
Well, it's used for lubrication, for one.
Okay.
You know, just like we do teardrops.
Right.
But then it is also, you know, it's all communication-based as well. There's also the forehead gland that's up there between the antlers.
Yep.
And it's on does as well. And again, that one's depositing scent, especially on bucks when they're rubbing, you know. So there's just
is that a territorial type thing? Is that, you know, when they're doing their rubbing and that type of thing, and is that saying, hey, this is my fence post or this is my tree or just here I am.
Yeah, I think it's probably this is me, here I am.
Okay.
You know, and yeah, to, you know, to coordinate, to let the other bucks know and to let does know, you know, that they're in the area.
Mm-hmm.
The orbital, you know, the preorbital gland, you know, same thing as communication, like when they're, you know, if you're hunting a scrape, you know, you may see them, you know, actually use that preorbital gland to deposit scent, you know, on that twig that's hanging down.
Yeah, the licking branch or whatever they call it, preorbital gland.
Licking branch, yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, so it's all these glands are for communication. And pheromones, hormones, but not just scent, but it can also be even the salivary glands. You know, you think about, you know, salivary glands, you know, making spit.
Yeah.
While they, you know, when they lick that licking branch, they're depositing from the salivary glands, and it's the same thing. It's not just liquid or moisture, but it's actually pheromones and hormones, and as a way to communicate. Probably somewhat for dominance, you know, or you know, to establish territories, but also just as general, you know, here I am, you know, and then of course the does, I think, you know, they're using it to indicate where they're at in their estrus.
Got it. Well, you've got something going on in the nose. You've got nasal glands, and then you've got this other thing called a vomeral nasal organ.
Yeah, and you nasal organ or Jacobson's organ.
Okay.
Right, and that's right behind the front incisors, and it, like the lip curling.
Yeah, flementing, or however you say that word.
Right, we've seen the lip curling, and actually, yeah, so that gland as well on the roof of the mouth is, you know, again, picking up scent from does and estrus to figure out who's out there, who's ready and willing, to put it in the simplest
way. I got it, yep. He does that lip curl, and, you know, and people think that, you know, deer only go, you know, up. You know, they all go upwind, you know, because they want to get the, but they don't. I mean, they go crosswind a lot of times because, you know, they'll pick up doe scent on their body, on their head, you know, and the body will act almost as like a, I don't know, like a wall that will send that scent up to those nasal glands.
Right.
You know, so
yeah, I mean,
you don't have to always look, you know, you don't always have to look in, you know, downwind when you're hunting and see a deer coming at you. I mean, they're everywhere. So,
and
especially in this time of year.
I don't think we can comprehend probably the volume of information they're receiving, you know,
right.
from those glands, in all honesty, you know.
No.
I mean, I don't think we probably can comprehend because, you know, we're, we're pretty crude, pretty elementary when it comes to our vision and our hearing and our smell.
That's true.
Smell, you know.
Yeah.
So they, you know, five or seven glands or whatever that they're using.
I would say the most used gland by every deer year round is the interdigital gland, and a lot of people have never heard of the interdigital gland.
Yeah, so they're between the hooves, you know, and they're actually depositing scent as the deer walks.
Right.
You know, and again, it's a unique identifier, and it's probably marking the trail. You know, so deer know. You know, unless it's Sika deer don't use the same trail all the time. But
do they even have individual? Do Sika deer even have the interdigital glands?
I'm sure they do.
Okay.
But I don't know offhand. I'll have to look that
up. Yeah.
It's interesting. There, you know, they can actually lay out their map out there to communicate with other deer to know which trail they went down or where they went.
Yeah.
So.
Now, I learned a long time ago, and I don't even know if it's true, but when a deer, let's say the deer gets alarmed on that trail, is there an alarm scent that lays down through those interdigital glands?
Yes. That's my understanding as well.
Yeah.
That they can actually differentiate not just the individual deer, but what state the deer is in as well. Yes.
So if, you know, you happen to jump a deer and it lays down that alarmed scent trail,
right,
the next deer that comes along is going to smell that and go, oh, maybe I better not go that way.
Or better yet, that doe that sneaks in behind you while you're sitting in the stand.
Yeah.
And then she stands back there and stomps her foot.
Yeah.
And you know, and blows at you.
Yeah.
That's what she's doing.
Yeah, that happens a lot to me.
Yeah, me too.
Yep. Happened the first time I was in the stand. Hasn't happened a lot, and I don't know if we've got any hot EHD in Queen Anne's County where I hunt or not, but I'm like a lot of other people. I'm just not seeing the deer. I mean,
like Queen Anne's was a hot spot, so it's very possible it could have impacted, for sure.
I'll have to maybe after the season or maybe sometime here soon, I'm going to go crawl the creek banks a little bit and see what happens.
Yeah, it was Queen Anne's. We probably had as many reports from Queen Anne's as we did any other county this year.
Got it.
For sure.
Got it. So, very good. Well, that was a good discussion about the glands.
They're pretty complicated animals.
They're extremely complicated. Their lifestyle's complicated. Their breeding process is beyond comprehension.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just fascinating to me and millions of other people. That's why we hunt them. Because the more we learn about them, the less we know. So, I know that sounded like a stupid statement, but I'm always learning something.
Yeah.
You know, I'm always learning something on behavior and so forth. So, all right, well, cool. All right, Brian, well, that brought us to our first break here for this hour. So, hang in there a minute, and we'll get right back to you. Do you have a beautiful fireplace that you never use? Well, we did too. It was just a hole in the wall that sucked all the heat out of the room through the chimney. We fixed that when we visited Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. Now, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the premier fireplace and hearth dealer in the region. Robin and I both selected Backyard Billy's to supply our Enviro EX35 gas fireplace insert. Remote control, the heat comes on, the light comes on, the blower comes on, we can lower or raise the temperature, the intensity of the flames. It's pretty good. And we selected Backyard Billy's and Hearth America after disappointing visits to several other Delmarva locations. Now, Hearth America did the installation. They provided us with friendly and knowledgeable follow-up and service. We both enjoy the convenience, the beauty, and the room-filling heat of our gas fireplace insert, and you can too. Hearth America at Backyard Billy's carries both the Enviro and Regency brands, and now's the perfect time to own a new pellet stove, a gas stove, an electric stove, or a wood stove, all available from Hearth America at Backyard Billy's in Graysonville, or Ken Island, if you want to call that, narrow it down to a little location here in Maryland. Stop into the showroom. That's Route 50 at Exit 44. Be ready for the cold weather now. Visit Backyard Billy's or the Hearth America Facebook page. Call 410-827-4500. 410-827-4500. That's Backyard Billy's, open 7 days a week. Route 50 at Exit 44. If it's heat you want, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's is the fireplace. Creative Concepts Taxidermy. John George is the taxidermist. He specializes in big game animals from Africa, Asia, and North America. Creative Concepts Taxidermy, with 30 years experience, realistically, accurately, and artistically recreates animals from all over the world. They're located at 7194 Montevideo Road. That's in Jessup, Maryland, right off Route 1. Convenient to Route 100, convenient to 95, 295 interstates as well. It's a 3,800-square-foot studio at Creative Concepts Taxidermy. The ceiling is 19 feet, and the showroom is 1,500 square feet, with many examples of his life-size work. Creative Concepts supports nonprofit conservation organizations and wounded veterans groups. Maryland's premier life-size studio, and they'll do shoulder mounts and everything else as well. Creative Concepts Taxidermy provides five-star service for any animal from any continent, including those from Maryland. Hours are Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, or on weekends with an appointment. Visit creativeconceptstaxidermy.com. Call 410-799-1558. That's 410-799-1558 for Creative Concepts Taxidermy. Now, Clyde Sports Shop is your full-line Browning dealer. Take a look at all the Browning shotguns, take a look at all the Browning rifles, and you'll be glad, and the Browning handguns, and you'll be glad you did, the Buckmark handguns from Browning. There's a series of X-Bolt rifles. These are centerfire, high-powered rifles, bolt action, called the Hell's Canyon. There's the Speed, which is a lighter weight model with some, you know, some pretty hot calibers for those of you who do a lot of hunting in the mountains, or maybe you're headed out west for, you know, for mountain goat, or maybe you're headed to Alaska for sheep or something like that, and you don't want a big heavy rifle to carry. Well, the Hell's Canyon Speed takes care of that. Then there's the long range, and there's the McMillan models, and these have longer barrels, a little heavier frame, but they all have the arid urban camouflage. It's called ATAX AU. And it's a DuraTouch finish, camo finish, with which means, you know, it won't take fingerprints or cause any problems. The barrel is coated with Cerakote. It's a fluted barrel, sporter barrel with a threaded muzzle brake, detachable rotary magazine, a short throw bolt, adjustable trigger, bolt action in some select calibers. So you'll have to take that a look at that if you're interested in a really nifty-looking firearm, on a really nifty bolt-action rifle from your hunting headquarters, your Browning hunting headquarters, Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. Firearms, licenses, ammunition, gunsmithing, and scope mounting at 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road, 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108 for Clyde Sports Shop. We'll be right back after these messages.
Couple of nice days here this weekend. Dry weather and above average temperatures. Quite a bit of rain headed our way for Monday. Sunshine mixing in with the clouds as we head through the day today. Upper 50s this afternoon. Low to mid 30s tonight. Mix of clouds and sunshine tomorrow. Again, temperatures above average with highs again in the upper 50s. Rain possibly heavy at times on Monday, mid 60s. Turning colder Tuesday. Mostly cloudy skies with highs only in the 40s. I'm meteorologist Ken Boone from the Weather Channel for Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up Delaney Valley Road. Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway, Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Crabs for the holidays? No problem. Call 410-557-CRAB for tasty steamed crabs at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs, 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland, 410-557-CRAB. That's 2722. www.madonnaseafood.com. Madonna Seafood is open every day at 11 a.m.
Hello there, this is Nat King Cole wishing you all a happy and a Merry Christmas.
The joy of living is in the giving. So let's give lots of toys for tots. Toys, toys, toys for tots. Some have too many, some haven't any. If those who have, give those who haven't, oh, what a Christmas day. The Marine Reserve will help you, will help you fill your sleigh with lots and lots of toys for tots. So give a little toy today.
Since 1947, the United States Marine Corps has been helping Santa fill his sleigh, making happier holidays for deserving children right in your community. Go to toysfortots.org and learn how you can make a difference.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
This is an American Red Cross blood donation alert. We are currently facing a severe blood shortage during this coronavirus outbreak. Healthy blood and platelet donors are asked to make an appointment to give now. Donating blood is safe and can help save lives. Cancer patients, accident victims, and so many others continue to need life-saving transfusions. So please schedule your appointment now by visiting redcrossblood.org or calling 1-800-RED-CROSS. You can make a difference.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoor Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Got it. That's all right. You know he's going to be at the Delaware State Fair? Yeah. All right. We're with Brian Eiler, who's the Deer Project Leader for Maryland Department of Natural Resources, Wildlife, and Heritage Service, the Deer Guy. Let's talk a little bit about Sika deer, Brian.
Sure. What do you want to talk about?
How many are there?
More popular than ever.
Yeah, they are. Man, I'll tell you, they really, really are. I mean, I'm seeing like five sites on Facebook and comments and shares and all that stuff. You know, we've got in Maryland's finest, the record book, and I'm sure you've seen this, Bucks, Bears, Stags has produced this record book for the very first time, one comprehensive record book for Maryland. And we've got the top in every category listed in there. And I mean, tell you, some of those animals are just spectacular, you know, and they're measured by one of our measures who are available on our website, you know, the listing, or if you want to email us, it's bbs@bucks-bears-stags.com. Just go to the website and figure it out. But and it's easy to figure out. We've got the top two with archery. One was actually taken in 2007 and just brought to a measuring event back in February at the National Outdoor Show.
Wow.
And, yeah, and became the new state record Sika deer with a bow.
Great.
Yeah, no question. We've got the top crossbow. We've got the top firearms deer in there. So, you know, the Sika deer are very well represented in the record book, Maryland's Finest. And Maryland's Finest is available also on the website or from a local dealer. Anybody can email me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. I'll tell them where to get it. The easiest thing is just to order it online, and we'll stick it in the mail to you, and then you'll have it in your hot little hands. And what a great Christmas gift, too, is the Bucks, Bears, Stags, Maryland's Finest, the first ever record book. Going back 30 years, Brian, and,
yeah,
and you were very helpful with that, and you and your staff, and we appreciate
no problem.
All
it's
that.
It's a great-looking great-looking book.
So. Yep.
I do actually have one really cool story about Seeker Deer, actually, I just thought about.
All right, let's tell me the story.
So we know they're long-lived, right? I mean,
yes.
You know, those of us in the know that they're relatively long-lived, so based on previous tagging studies that have been done. So we just had another confirmation of that. So believe it or not, so I did my graduate research way back in the late 90s. Through the University of Maryland, and I did my work on Seeker deer and white-tailed deer down in Dorchester County. And I had a bunch of deer radio collared.
Right.
And, we tracked them around to see, figure out what they were doing, compared them to each other, you know, yada, 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 boring science stuff.
Yeah.
But in any case, believe it or not, the farm where I did my research, they just harvested a female that I tagged in 1999. So she was a calf so she would have been born in 1998. And she was, and I radio collared in her in March of 1999, and they just harvested her this year. It was more of a mercy killing than a hunt. She was blind and really going downhill, they said.
Yeah.
But she was still out there 22 years later, after I had marked her. So that's pretty cool.
A blind hind. Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, so, you know, they're long-lived, relatively long-lived, and the habitat they're in, you know, they're a little harder to hunt.
No question.
So that gives them an advantage as well. But we've had several now that have been over 20 years, documented over 20 years old.
Yeah, I think there was one killed not that long ago that was tagged back in that program, still wearing the tags.
Yeah. Yep.
Amazing.
You know, before my time with DNR, they had done an ear tagging study back in the late 80s and early 90s, and those deer, yeah, showed up for 20 years later, you know, up to 20 years later. I haven't had the report of one of them lately, but yeah, one of my collared deer has to be getting down to one of the last ones was harvested.
Wow.
Year. So, yeah, pretty cool. But yeah, Seeker deer are doing really well. We're actually working with Morgan State University. We're getting a project going where they're going to do a hunter opinion survey to see, you know, to gauge interest and what we, you know, is there anything we can be doing different or better. So we're going to do a little bit more research on Seeker deer here coming up, and it should be pretty interesting what we find there. But we've been harvesting around 3,000 a year, you know. So
how many did you say there were?
We've been harvesting about roughly 3,000 a year.
No, I mean, how many did you say is in the herd?
How many? You know, that's always a tricky one with those because it is such a limited area. But
yeah,
but probably around 15,000 if you include Assateague.
Okay.
You know, so it's a very healthy number.
No question. But the the carrying capacity can take it because it's just huge swaths of marsh that is, you know, interspersed with a little bit of high ground here and there.
We do have agricultural problems with them,
yeah,
you know, like whitetail, so we got to be careful culturally. There's definitely they've seemed to have found a niche down there where they don't cause a lot of ecological issues, but we definitely do deal with crop damage issues. They can be pretty hard on crops,
yeah,
depending on the time of year, and they're a little more nocturnal. And they'll hang out in bigger groups during the winter and all, you know, and during the summer months. So, so it can be a little bit of a challenge. But yeah, they're a really cool species. There's been a lot of podcasts done recently.
Yeah, I saw
a lot more social media attention.
I saw Steve Rinella this week was down there with a meat eater segment.
Yeah,
and they were bow hunting, and
taking a liking to him. This is probably what the third year he's been.
Yeah, doing, something think, like maybe. That. Yeah.
So, yeah,
yeah, he's hunting with one of the USDA nutria guys. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But by all counts, they're doing well. Like I said, we have a steady harvest population model that would suggest they're increasing in number.
Mm-hmm. When you have that huge tract of Blackwater National Wildlife Refuge, that people...
And we track the black, the refuge uses the same check-in system that we do. Correct.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And their harvest is pretty, their harvest has went up as well here recently. You know, they've gotten a little bit more liberal with their seasons and bag limits.
Mm-hmm.
Still plenty of them down there, though. Especially if you drive the roads at night.
Man, I'll tell you, that happens more than not. I'll hunt them all afternoon, and then I'll get in the truck and start driving up the road, and they're crossing the road in front of me. You know,
yeah, so. Eyes everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so yeah, I got you. So I'll actually, this is the, what day are we doing it? This is the 18th, right? So I'll be down there Friday, the 20th, with the bow, seeing if I can finally take one with the compound bow.
Oh, good luck.
Yeah, man. We'll see with that. I mean, I've harvested hinds with the bow. I've harvested hinds with the crossbow. Never harvested a stag with either one of those. So, you know, that's game plan. Of course, it was 81 degrees in where we were hunting in T-shirts in the early muzzleloader season down there. And I let a hind get by me. I mean, I let a stag, nice stag, get by me. And he wound up getting harvested on Saturday, a real nice 6-point. So,
okay.
Yeah, I'm happy for the guy. So,
yeah, good.
Yeah, but
they're a lot of fun. They're hard to figure out, but they're a lot of fun.
That's true. That's true. So, hey, I want to tell you this now. Harry Spiker just texted me. He just got my voicemail from the other day, and Harry unfortunately can't join us on the phone. Kenny, can we conference up? Can we conference? All right, not in here. So what that means is, Brian, this would be, if we want to get Harry in here, we're going to have him call in on the same line, which means Brian will be leaving.
Works for me, if that's what you want to do.
Well, we usually like to do a full show, you know, but I wouldn't mind giving Harry a shot at talking about the bear population and that type of thing, the bear harvest. And So we'll wrap this up in a few minutes, and we'll bring Harry on here. When we break, we'll get Harry to call in. So,
yeah.
You okay with that?
Good. Yeah.
You guys work together.
Primitive season real quick. I don't think we covered
it. Yeah. Let's talk about primitives. Go for it.
New season this year, February. It'll be the first 3 days in February, so normally the first through the third, unless a Sunday's involved.
Right.
So it'll be primitive archery and primitive muzzleloader. So no crossbows, no compounds, just vertical, you know, just recurves
and longbows. Yep.
Or primitive muzzle loaders, so either flintlocks or sidelock, you know, percussion.
Percussion cap. Yep.
And bag limits will be your regular bag limit, regular part of your normal muzzle loader.
Yeah. So don't kill all three bucks if you're looking to kill a buck in the primitive season.
Right. Or
your bonus
unless you're in Region A. In Region A, you'll actually have an extra antler list during that season that you can use. But yeah, we're looking forward to it. You know, it'll be a good time of year where you can experience the winter months and carry an old weapon and see if you can have some success now that you'll be really educated. And
yep. I've got my recurves ready, and I've got my Getz Barrel Company number 26 custom gun, which is a percussion cap. So I've got some new percussion caps and some patched round balls, so we'll try and put one down with that. So
good deal.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to get out there too.
So good for you. Good
fun
for
time
you.
Of year.
Yep. So I also have
a little bit of snow on the ground.
I also have a 54 caliber Renegade that might follow me out there too. So anyway, buddy. Hey, look, we're coming to the end of the segment, and Brian, as always, we appreciate you being with us on the first day of deer season, and we want to wish you and your kids great luck out there in Washington and Frederick counties.
Yep.
There's some dynamic deer out there. I don't know if you saw the picture of the one on our Facebook page for Bucks, Bears, Stags. It was 23 inches wide.
Yeah, it's a nice deer.
Yeah.
It's a nice deer.
No question. So, all right, man. Well,
all right.
Yeah, watch out for bears out there.
Yeah, be safe and enjoy your time in the woods.
Thanks, Brian.
All right.
Have a great season.
See ya.
Bye-bye. There he goes. You know, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's in Graysonville knows fire. Are you looking for a new backyard grill? Pellet grills by Traeger, Big Green Egg, and Kamado Joe are at Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. How about premium gas logs by Real Fire to install in your fireplace to give it that beautiful glow on a chilly evening? Gas wall fireplaces can add a special look to any room, and gas fire tables are a distinctive addition to your deck or your backyard. See them all at Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. Now's the perfect time to own a new pellet, gas, electric, or wood stove from Hearth America at Backyard Billy's in Graysonville. Stop into the showroom, Route 50 at Exit 44, and be ready for the cold weather now. And on the 18th of November, it's 40 degrees and the wind's blowing, so cold weather's here. Visit BackyardBillies.com or the Hearth America Facebook page. Call 410-827-4500. That's 410-827-4500. Backyard Billies open 7 days a week. Route 50, exit 44. If it's heat you want, Hearth America at Backyard Billies is the fireplace. That's right. Clyde Sports Shop. I'm going to tell you another couple of firearms. And this is a center fire rifle, only it's an autoloader. Or semi-automatic, some people call it. It's called the BAR Mark III, Hell's Canyon Speed. It's that Hell's Canyon series that has been adopted by the BAR family. It's a burnt bronze, Cerakote finished barrel, ATAX arid urban camouflage, composite shim adjustable stock, an inflex recoil pad, and all Hell's Canyon Speed guns and gear are built to be durable and lightweight, the perfect tools for serious hunters who need gear as lean and tough as they are. There's a large selection of caliber, including magnums and short magnum calibers, for the BAR Mark III Hell's Canyon Speed. BAR from Browning and Clyde Sports Shop, your Browning hunting headquarters. I'll get it out. Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9, since 1957. Their phone number is 410-242-6108. 242-6108. Website is Clyde Sports, 2S's in the middle.com. Firearms, licenses, ammunition, gunsmithing, and scope mounting open 7 days a week. Clyde Sports Shop. Now, our buddy over there, John George at Creative Concepts Taxidermy, he specializes in big game animals from Africa and Asia and North America. Creative Concepts Taxidermy, 30 years experience, realistically, accurately, and artistically recreates animals from all over the world. Located just off Route 1 at 7194 Montevideo Road in Jessup. Convenient to Route 100, of course, Route 1 and the 95-295 interstates. The Creative Concepts Taxidermy Studio is 3,800 square feet, has 19-foot ceilings, a showroom 1,500 square feet. You'll see examples of his fine work right there. Creative Concepts supports non-profit conservation organizations and wounded veterans groups. Maryland's premier life-size studio, Creative Concepts Taxidermy, provides five-star service for any animal from any continent, including those right here in Maryland. Hours are Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, or on weekends with an appointment. Visit creativeconceptstaxidermy.com or call 410-799-1558. That's 410-799-1558 for Creative Concepts Taxidermy. And we'll be right back after this. Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up Delaney Valley Road. Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway, Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Crabs for the holidays? No problem. Call 410-557-CRAB for tasty steamed crabs at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs, 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland, 410-557-CRAB. That's 2722. www.madonnaseafood.com. Madonna Seafood is open every day at 11 a.m.
When you need them, your local volunteer fire department routinely answers the call. Whether it be a fire, traffic accident, or a cat stuck in a tree, there is always someone there for you. However, because of declines in memberships, departments are becoming understaffed and struggling. Here's how you can help your neighbors and your community. No matter what skills you may possess, you can make a difference. Your local volunteer fire department desperately needs your help. Can you direct traffic, install a smoke alarm, help at fundraisers? Your community needs you. You don't have to fight fire to be a volunteer. Will you make that difference? Will you answer the call? Brought to you by the National Volunteer Firefighter Recruitment Center, a program service of the Volunteer Firefighter Alliance. For more information on how you can help and make a difference, visit www.nvfrc.org. That's www.nvfrc.org.
Braxton was diagnosed with choroid plexus carcinoma, a brain tumor. St. Jude is helping us put away our fears. We have an amazing team that fights for the best outcome for Braxton. He has the best chance here. I don't have to worry that how much is that bag of fluid going to cost me? Can I afford it to save my child's life? The donations, they're paying for me to live every day with my son, be stress-free, and enjoy every day with him. I wish there was a word bigger than thank you, more close to the heart, because thank you is not enough. They've given me hope. They've given me my son.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
What is your role in the fight against cancer? The answer could be as simple as driving your car. For many cancer patients, getting to and from treatment is one of their toughest challenges. The American Cancer Society needs volunteer drivers to provide rides for patients in your community. Schedules are flexible. Get in the driver's seat against cancer. Call your American Cancer Society at 800-227-2345 or go to cancer.org/drive. That's 800-227-2345.
And now more from Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Oh, I like it. Little ZZ, huh? Got it. Well, since we don't have much time, we're going to cut the music a little short because we have a new guest coming up. Brian Eiler has left the building, and we are now with Harry Spiker, who is the bear. What's your title?
Game mammal section leader.
Game mammal section leader. You handle the bears, and you still do the fur bears?
You know, we did hire a full-time fur bear.
Oh, I met that guy. Yeah.
But I still supervise him. And
yeah,
I
got it.
Still have a hand in.
Well, let's talk about bears. I was a sub-permittee out there this year. We hunted Frederick County near Emmitsburg on the first day. And we experienced stuff like just about everybody else in the bear woods did that very first day, which is usually the biggest day of harvest.
Right.
Rain. Cold weather, falling barometer, no food. So, you know, just fill us in a little bit. The bear season was not that good.
Yeah, bear season was down a little bit, no doubt. We ended up taking 117 bears across the four western counties, and really the biggest driver of that was the lack of natural foods. You throw on top of that the just the weather, you named it, you know, the weather did everything it could have, you know, even out here in Garrett County, we even had it spitting snow during the week. So we had rain, we had fog, we had just everything you could imagine that makes it difficult. You know, we had dropped 117 bears this year. The last couple of years, we've been 135 to 145.
What was the highest harvest?
The highest was 167 back in 2016.
That wasn't that long ago.
No, yeah. No, it was not. Yeah, believe it or not, this is the seventh year not running a quota system.
Yes.
We've been 7 years now, just a set number of days. We increased the number of permits this year, 950 permits, expected to see a bump in the harvest,
right.
it just didn't happen. Our hunter success rate dropped in half of what it normally is. We're down to about 4.5%.
So that means that in the lottery next year, less people will apply because they weren't successful this time. So you're going to have to double the bag limit for parties of three.
That's one perspective. That's one good perspective.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know.
Yeah, I tell you, this year we did see
one of the other things I noticed in going over the harvest information is we saw a much higher ratio of bears taken on private land this
mm-hmm.
year. Normally, we see about 65%. This year, it was just under 75%.
Wow.
And, you know, those are bears that are, now keep in mind, a bear's got a 10-plus square mile home range.
Yeah.
So if there's no acorns or hickory nuts,
they're going to be moving.
Feed on, they're in the cornfield.
Yeah, they're in the cornfields is right.
So yeah, we did see a lot of increased corn damage this year.
Yeah.
To farmers. So you know they're feeling the pain of this.
Yeah, bear's not spending any time on the ridge on a oak flat or an oak ridge or a beech nut ridge or any of that stuff or hickories. They're going to be out in the cornfields, and they'll tend to spend a lot of time out there because they're getting, you know, the acorn is the primary fat source nutrient resource for going into hibernation. So now we're going to have a bunch of corn-fed hibernating bears.
That's right. Speaking of the hibernation, I also expect to see bears hibernate a little earlier this year because of it. A lot of times it's mostly food driven. If they're putting out more energy than they're getting, in return, then they're just going to shut down.
They're just going to den earlier. Yeah. And tell people a little bit about that. I mean, the bears breed every 2 years, somewhere in the middle of June, around the middle of June or something like that.
Yeah. June, July, is the bear breeding season.
Right.
They're breeding, habits are pretty unique. They're what's called a delayed implanter.
Okay.
So even though they breed in June, July, that they're not really officially pregnant until November sometime.
Really?
Yeah.
And then
the embryo just floats around in there.
That's interesting.
And doesn't actually implant on the uterine wall until mid November or so.
I learned something.
So, that's why.
And then it grows very quickly because those cubs are delivered in the den, but they're tiny. I mean, they're peanut size when they're.
Yeah, they're born in late January or so. So, I mean, you're talking about a, 200 to 300 pound sow giving birth to a couple, small chipmunks.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
It's
very interesting. But they're fully furred when she comes out of hibernation, right? And they're ready to roll in a very short amount of time, a couple months.
They'll come out late March, early April.
Right.
Those sows with newborn cubs, the other bears will be out already by then.
Yep.
And they're going to be at that time. They're going to be 8, 10, 12 pounds, and fully functional, climbing trees, walking, and it's amazing.
I just had two buddies who have property in North Carolina. And they actually, to get there early enough in the morning, they spent the night in their stands.
Oh, wow.
In their redneck blinds.
Yep.
And my buddy, I talked to him this morning, he said, I've had to fight off three bears. He said they'd climb up the ladder of the redneck stand. They were trying to get in jiggling the handle on the door.
Is that right?
Yep. The other guy said, I had one climb my stand, and he said, I shined my light out, and all I could see was fur. So
I wonder what kind of good snacks they had in there with them.
I don't know if they were food driven or not. Maybe they had a bucket of acorns. I don't know.
I know if it was me in a redneck blind all night, I'd have a basket of Snickers bars.
Well, that's what you're going to have to give those bears when they come out of hibernation because they're hangry, man.
That's right.
Man. Well, Harry, look, I appreciate you joining us this morning. Ira, how much time do we actually have left here to talk to Harry? 2 minutes? Okay. Well, in 2 minutes, I don't know what the internal conversation is going to be, but we've got to take more bears because they just keep increasing year after year. The range keeps expanding. I mean, we've had them in Baltimore County. We have them in Montgomery County. We have them in, Carroll County, all over the place. And, they just keep expanding their range. So we either increase the area where you can hunt, you increase the number of hunters out there, the number of permits, or you increase the bag limit.
Anything's on the table really, but keep in mind those a lot of those roaming bears, you know, they're not there in bear season.
No.
Right now, we've got a season across our whole occupied territory.
Right.
So, geography is good. Part of it really is getting hunters to focus in on Washington and Frederick counties.
Okay.
Because a lot of people still, they get a tag and boom, they go to Garrett.
Go to Garrett. Yep.
And we have really good, as you know, really good numbers in Frederick County and Washington County. You know, biggest bear of the year this year came from Frederick County.
It did.
537 pounds.
Yes, it did. Wade Henry's bear. Yep. I talked to him. Yep. So.
That's the big one, is just encouraging hunters to hunt, you know, out there. As far as numbers and things, you know, we're constantly looking at that.
Okay.
You know, we issued 150 more permits this year. And,
got it.
And we'll continue to move forward.
All right. Well, look, Harry, I thank you for everything you do. We put the information for bucks, bears, and stags out there at all the check stations, and our middle name for the group is Bears. So, you know, anybody who's harvested one, even a medium-sized bear, we're looking for, you know, get them in the Maryland record book. So, hey, Harry Spiker,
great.
Thanks.
Absolutely.
Have a good Christmas. We'll talk later.
You too. Take care.
All right, buddy. There goes Harry Spiker. Nice to get him in. So there's the music. So get out, stay out, stay safe, of course. But another way to stay safe is wear your mask, wash your hands, use hand sanitizer, and social distance. Even in the ground blind if you can. I'm kidding.